Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Navage.
I'm Stacey Lynn in Washington. Snow in California?
I live where there's like no snow ever.
11-year-old Jeremiah Dominguez of Lake Hughes got to enjoy the rare weather event. So how long will it last? Weather Channel meteorologist Mike Betts.
Probably doesn't give up the heavy rain and snow until sometime late on Saturday. And then we'll watch for another system to approach on Sunday in Northern California. All this energy works its way into the middle of the country by Sunday, producing severe weather, including a chance of tornadoes. Then it works into the Midwest and Northeast, and another snowstorm is on the way.
Some not so good news from a reservoir in northern Arizona that supplies water to states in the West. Here's CBS's Stefan Kaufman.
Lake Powell is now seeing its lowest water level since the mid-1960s because of the region's continuing drought. Colorado State University water scientist Brad Udall.
The lake is down 75% from when it was nearly full in the year 2000. So we have a quarter of this lake upon which 40 million Americans depend still left.
As the Russian war in Ukraine enters its second year, many gathered outside the Russian embassy last night in Washington, D.C., where a giant Ukrainian flag was projected onto the side of the building. Alex Murdoch was on the stand for 9 hours over the past 2 days, testifying in his own defense. He admitted to lying about some things, but insists he did not kill his wife and son. Legal analyst Lori Levinson.
He had to admit that he had lied about many things. He had to admit about his financial misdeeds. He had to admit that, in fact, he made up things when he talked to the investigators.
The defense is hoping to rest its case by Tuesday, which means the jury would begin deliberations next week. A big-name environmental activist, Aaron Brockovich, attended a town hall in East Palestine, Ohio. CBS's Meryl Rubin.
Environmental advocate Aaron Brockovich launched a legal effort called East Palestine Justice to hold Norfolk Southern accountable and represent those impacted by the toxic train derailment.
You're going to be told not to worry. Well, that's just rubbish. Because you are going to worry.
And at the town hall, residents spoke about how they and their pets are getting sick, even though officials tell them the air is fine and the water is safe to drink.
Telehealth visits are here to stay. Here's CBS's Robert Legarry.
Proposed rules from the DEA announced Friday night make permanent certain allowances from the beginning of the coronavirus pandemic for medical providers to prescribe drugs via telehealth.
But there will still be some restrictions on medicines that are more addictive. This is CBS News.
Now there's a simple, easy, and effective way to clean your nose and protect your health. It's called Navage. Navage.
A progressive voice from Beaver Dam to Kenosha. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. The federal infrastructure law has been in effect for a year now. Community leaders around Wisconsin are optimistic about badly needed repairs and improvements. Here's Mike Moen.
At the League of Wisconsin Municipalities, Zach Brewing says so far nearly $3 billion in projects have been announced with funding from the law. Most are transportation related, and Brewing says it's badly needed as many areas have backlogs for priorities like road and bridge repairs.
And so by having a real strong federal partnership in the area of infrastructure helps address some of the backlog.
The law will also provide states funding for clean water infrastructure and expansion of high-speed internet. The plan did have some Republican opposition, but has otherwise been hailed by political analysts as a bipartisan achievement. Despite the significance of the law, some of those analysts say it hasn't stayed on the public's radar, especially during the recent election. But supporters are still getting the word out. Megan Rowe is with Opportunity Wisconsin, which has spent the last year educating communities about the benefits of these projects.
Whether we're spending less on car repairs due to updated roads and bridges, having access to safe drinking water, or improved mass transit opportunities, this law is a once-in-a-generation investment in our state's infrastructure and competitiveness.
And as more projects are announced, Rowe says it means additional well-paid union jobs for distressed areas. She says the long-term benefits from various improvements should particularly help rural areas and underserved communities. An interactive online map from the White House shows the projects so far are spread fairly evenly across Wisconsin. Mike Moen, Wisconsin News Connection.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripescast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
WAUK 540 AM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com. You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
You're listening to the best of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunjahade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national and local Native American news and events. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade. Hey, Kadigi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot, and we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Zoe, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
That's right. And I just want to remind everyone that this portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice. Well, so filling in.
No, that's all right. Hey, we got a jam-packed show here, Zoe. We got Rachel Thunder and a couple other people talking about what happened yesterday and what led up to yesterday with the rooftop protest, and really excited to amplify what's happening. It was a mess. We had Rachel on for a very short time yesterday, Zoe, and 100 police showed up, you know, for a peaceful protest that sounds so familiar here on Turtle Island and especially in Minneapolis. So I don't know what was going on with that. We played a lot of the footage when Ogum was on yesterday and at the end of the show, and it was just we have to hear an update from Rachel and check in with Joe. We haven't had Joe on the show in quite a while, so we're really, really excited. But before we do that, I want to tell everyone we talk about Native news that you don't hear anywhere else, and I want to bring in Zoe here and talk about what's going on in Turtle Island and the news that you don't hear anywhere else here other than Native Roots Radio. Thanks, Zoe.
Miigwech. So our first story today comes from Indian Country Today. Conservationists are hoping to get an emergency court order to block the construction of a Nevada lithium mine after a U.S. judge directed a federal agency to revisit part of the approval of the construction. However, the judge has allowed the construction to move forward in the interim. Tulasi Brooks, which is a lawyer for the Western Watersheds Project, was quoted saying that this mine should not be allowed to destroy public land unless and until the Ninth Circuit has determined whether it was legally approved. The White House itself has said that this mine, which was planned by the Lithium Nevada Corporation, is necessary to continue efforts to produce raw materials for electric vehicle batteries. Others, however, speak of how it will harm the surrounding ecosystem and pollute the groundwater and air. Tribes have also requested relief, as the site is a sacred site to them. This issue follows a very long history of attacks on Native lands, similar, of course, to the Dakota Access Pipeline and Line 3 Pipeline. However, now Indigenous peoples, we must fight back against the nationwide movement for electric cars as they become the next environmental issue that we face. And in other news, this is coming from Indian's website. The U.S. Court of Appeals declared on February 2nd that the ban on access to firearms as it relates to domestic violence is unconstitutional because it does not fit within the U.S. historical tradition of firearm regulation. They went on to say that the rule, they went on to say that unless a crime has been committed and the perpetrator has been convicted, that perpetrator is still seen as innocent in the eyes of the law. And, you know, Robert, as many of us know, there's a lot of reasons why survivors of domestic violence don't feel safe enough to make reports to law enforcement regarding their abuse. Two of the most prevalent fears are that, of course, nothing will come of the report, as we know. I can't remember how many, of course, but recently it was found out that there were many, many SANE exams, or also known as rape kits, that had not been tested properly throughout the country. And because of that, you know, survivors know that little can be done about their situation, or little probably will be done about their situation, which is just a horrible reality that Indigenous women and all of our relatives face day to day. So studies across the U of S have also proven that domestic violence and femicide are critically linked, due to statistics that state that abusers with access to firearms are 5 times more likely to kill their female victims. So Strong Hearts Native Helpline CEO Lori Jump was quoted in the article stating that this action has removed one of the few tools that survivors have to protect themselves and their children. It is hard to reconcile the court's reliance on antiquated laws and their perceived intent with the statistics on femicide. So I just want to say also, if your loved one is currently experiencing a domestic violence situation, please call or text the Strong Hearts Native Helpline at 1-844-762-8483. That's 1-844-762-8483. Or visit their website at strongheartshelpline.org. I just thought that that was pretty, go ahead, Robert. That's pretty insane.
Yeah, you know, one of the things, too, I just want to, when you were speaking, and we've had Strong Hearts on many times on our show, and what a great organization, and please reach out to that 1-844-762-8433. You know, I've witnessed so much in my lifetime about blaming the victim, and that's huge, too, and I just want to add that to your story, too, that it's a common thing, it's a natural thing where people think that people deserve violence, and it's insane. And thank you so much for amplifying that story, Zoe.
Yeah, and you know, that goes to say that rape culture is very strong within our society, and in our Native community too. We really have to know those signs, you know, and to not affirm this idea that to be Native is to suffer from violence. I've heard that before, and it's really damaging to us as a people. It's really damaging to our youth. So, you know, organizations like the Strong Hearts are doing great work, and we need more of that work going on. On a happier note, according to CBC News, a new report has shown that Indigenous language learning is on the rise. And, you know, this is coming out of Canada. But we know that we have a lot of language revitalization also going on in the U.S. So around 17,000 people are learning their First Nations language in British Columbia. Last year, the province gave $35 million in funding towards supporting language revitalization. However, Indigenous organizations, such as the First Peoples Cultural Council, which is actually the organization that made the report, are stating that consistent funding from the government is needed in order to make a true commitment to communities. According to the report, there are 34 Indigenous languages spoken within the province and around 10,355 people who are fluent speakers, which is really incredible. And, you know, the number is rising, which is really beautiful to see because people have the misconception that our languages are dying. But, you know, we can't believe that, because then they will. We have to believe that they're going to continue to thrive no matter what. And a last little bit of news, you know, Robert, you already mentioned this. So last night, the Minneapolis Police Department conducted a raid on the Roof Depot occupation, and we'll be hearing more about that from our relative Rachel Thunder in the next segments to come. So really, really looking forward to hearing what transpired last night, and also what was said at the press conference today at MIWRC, also in South Minneapolis. So this has been your Native News with Zoe Allen, Chimi Gwich.
Right on, Zoe. I really appreciate it. Hey, up next, we got Joe Vitale and Rachel Thunder. We're going to talk about the rooftop situation yesterday and get the word out to our relatives all over Turtle Island. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Stay with us, please. Ho-wa.
My ride smells just right, just right, just right, just right.
Y'all gotta try that for Bree's car.
Just right, just right, just right, just right. Yeah. La 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 la. With up to 40 days of consistent scent, all over Bree's car, clips right on your vent. Yeah. You know my car's my happy place. Keep a smile on my face. When it smells just right, just right, just right. Yeah. Breathe happy for Bree's.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
Weather on this snowy day in Milwaukee could be brought to us by your pizza delivery business. Can you imagine how many families are snuggled in their homes enjoying hot, tasty pizza? Weather makes the phone ring for just $199 per week. Call us at 608-819-8255.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lots of sunshine today with daytime highs approaching 34. Southwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Clear skies tonight, lows level off around 19. Sunny skies tomorrow, highs around 40. Mid-40s Monday, with a chance for scattered showers. Low 40s, partly cloudy Tuesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 21 degrees.
WAUK 540 AM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24-7 at waukradio.com.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Development Institute of Minneapolis.
Thanks, Zoe. Hey, great to see you, Joe Vitale, and of course, Rachel Thunder. Joe, I want to go to you first, and then we'll get into Rachel, what happened last night. But Joe, I've seen you boots on the ground on this issue from day one with the city council and you speaking good words. Welcome to Native Roots Radio, and thanks so much for being on, Joe.
No, McWitch, for having me. Hello, all my relatives. My name is South Mountain.
Joe Vital. I am a citizen of the Red Lake Nation and also a proud Mexican. And as Robert has described, I have been a part of the Roof Depot fight for the past 2.5 years. However, it's been going on for 8. I'm part of the newest iteration of the struggle. And what we are talking about today is the idea of community autonomy, of what their neighborhood looks and feels like. And what we're especially concerned with in this particular issue is the Roof Depot, which sits at 28th and Longfellow, which has a legacy of industrial pollution that goes all the way back to the 1940s, where there was originally a pesticide plant that dumped arsenic in the neighboring community going up to the 60s. And unfortunately, that arsenic was encapsulated underneath the Roof Depot building, you know, amongst many things. You know, that pesticide arsenic was allowed to drift into the neighboring community, and it was allowed to do so for decades, where that site was then declared a Superfund site in the early 2000s, with cleanup going up to the about 2017 was when the last home was, the soil had to be physically removed. So that's, you know, back in 2017, that's when the soil was removed. When the site, the designation status was then removed, community had an idea as to what to do with the Roof Depot building, because by then the community became aware that, you know, the owner wanted to sell and the community wanted to buy the building and retrofit it to become a multi-use, mixed-use development project. And, you know, there were countless community meetings that took place in which, you know, and we're talking about meetings with multicultural groups, because East Phillips is very, is heavily diverse. It's one of the most diverse communities in the state, at least per capita. We're talking about our East African relatives, our Latinx relatives from Mexico and Guatemala, as well as Little Earth resides there. So our indigenous relatives are there and our white relatives, and all came together to come up with this project to address some of the root issues they are experiencing daily. So we were talking about fresh foods, because East Phillips is currently a food desert. You know, we're talking about green jobs, a job training facility where folks would be trained in on, you know, how to maintain solar panels, electrical vehicle maintenance, you know, green, thinking about the future, that green economy, as well as having public space. Because if anybody who is listening has tried to reserve space for a meeting, let alone a training, it is nearly impossible because public space is at a premium. Unfortunately, the city of Minneapolis used eminent domain on the owner and forcibly took the site from them to expand its current work facility that is neighboring of Roof Depot. They're on 27th in Hiawatha. And what they want to do is demolish the building and expand its truck yard to consolidate all of the diesel vehicles as well as their equipment on this site. And I mentioned briefly that East Phillips is highly diverse. It's also incredibly poor. The average income in the area is about $33,000 for the family, and it actually drops significantly to $10,000 for our relatives in Little Earth. And so we're talking about a very diverse, deeply poor area. And it's also a green zone, which is a city policy that mandates that the city, you know, invest in green infrastructure in the area, that it reduces air pollution in the area. However, this is a classic example of environmental racism, where the city is ignoring its own environmental policies because it messes with their profit margins. Because, you know, I talked about the consolidation efforts that's going into this project. And those other facilities that currently house the trucks, that currently house the equipment, are in prime real estate. We're talking about real estate in Southwest Minneapolis, Northeast Minneapolis. They're in downtown Minneapolis, all premium, where they want to sell to developers to make a profit. And the city claims this will reduce emissions, except they're centralizing the pollution that comes with this project in East Phillips. And that's after the fact that they expose the residents to arsenic, which again would trigger the Superfund status.
Wow, Joe, that's amazing what you just said there. One of the things I want to ask you, and probably last time I knew that when you had a diesel engine, you had to warm it up for a long time, and especially in this weather. So to consolidate that air, as you spoke earlier, with X amount of trucks is just insane.
It's completely backwards. And, you know, I talked about the policy that, you know, dictates that the city needs to reduce emissions in these areas. You know, East Phillips is inside of a green zone. You know, it's the South Side green zone. There's a North Side green zone next to Northern Metals and where Upper Harbor used to be. But we all know that when it comes to the almighty dollar, our government will look the other way for its own benefit. And I'm glad you talked about, you know, warming up a vehicle, because this isn't just one truck. This isn't even just a fleet of trucks. We're talking about hundreds of vehicles. The site plans include 888 parking spots for its entire fleet. So we're talking about significant pollution that is coming into this area. And Roof Depot or the city's project is just like the tipping point of the problems that exist there. We're talking about Hiawatha runs across, Cedar Avenue cuts right through East Phillips. And then, you know, I'm not even discussing Smith Foundry and Bituminous Roadways, that is an asphalt plant that also pollutes the neighborhood. So yeah, we're just adding to that cumulative impact.
And I want to let our Wisconsin relatives know we're all over Turtle Island and on civic media and, of course, on the local AM 950 here, that this is a poor part, as Joe said, poor part of town. So we get into this, you know, not showing up, not caring. You know, these meetings go on during the day when people are trying to work. Rachel, I want to grab you, get you in here. And one of the things I wanted to say that I think you brought up, or one of our newscasts were brought up about this specifically, is that the language of the invite was only in English. And we have so many diverse people here, Rachel.
Right. No, that was a comment, in fact, that was brought up by Jolene Jones from Little Earth at our press conference today at MIWRC. And, you know, initially when there were meetings happening about the site, the invitations went out to different communities here. And all of the invitations were sent in English. When you have one of the most diverse, the most diverse community in Minneapolis, you have, you know, your Latina, Hispanic community, you have, you know, Somalian community, and none of these invites were sent out in any of those languages other than English. So of course, you know, they just threw them in the trash. And then on top of that, not one single invite was sent to one home at Little Earth. You know, out of over 200 homes, they just decided to not send those invitations out to the largest indigenous population here in South Minneapolis.
Well, Rachel, I appreciate you being on today. And I think as we went live when you left us yesterday and played some video that was going live out there, of course, with not the audio, because you never know who's going to swear. But it looked like we were dealing with Standing Rock, with Line 3, with the uranium and the Black Hills, all these things where we had overabundance of police last night to round us up, you know. And thank you for being there. And I want to, we got less than a minute left here in this segment, and I want to really talk to you about what went down, because this is not right. And this is, again, attack on Native Americans, peaceful protesters that can't speak their mind in a city that's supposed to be diverse. But we know each day that this is not what Minneapolis is about, whether it's the police department, whether it's the mayor, whether it's officials that, you know, Joe's been dealing with. I mean, I saw Joe at the city council, and you know, these are people are supposed to be supporting us. So Rachel, we're gonna dive deep into this, and Joe, stay on too, because this is so important for all our people around Turtle Island to hear what's still going on to us brown and black people all over Turtle Island here. And it's Well, it's sickening. So we'll come back in a few seconds. Thank you so much, you guys, for being on. We'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Stay with us, please. Ho-wah.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. A rare snowstorm in California.
This is very unusual. I've lived in Southern California my whole life. Never been in a snow flurry before.
Heavy snow isn't the only concern there. Forecasters say they're worried about torrential rain leading to flash flooding in downtown L.A., where parts of the city are expecting up to 8 inches. Yesterday marked 1 year since the Russian war began, and protesters met outside the Russian embassy in D.C. to stand in solidarity for Ukraine.
Today we're here to support Ukraine, to show that we are together.
A second day on the stand for Alec Murdoch in his trial for murder. CBS's Mara Rubin.
During cross-examination, Alec Murdoch admits he was at the kennels before the murders.
Everything about me not going to the kennel was a lie.
But he wouldn't admit to making phone calls to manufacture an alibi.
Because I did not and would not hurt my wife and my child.
The case resumes Monday. CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lynn.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Monday morning at 8, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday morning at 8 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Max Inc. Radio, we are local music with Pete from the Skin Tones.
Here, you have been warned. Not only Madison, the rest of Wisconsin and the U.S., Skin Tones, we're coming at you. We're going to be committing rock atrocities. We're fit. We're in shape. We are tight. We are muscular. We are attractive for our ages. And we are sexy as hell.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 p.m. to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
Oh. We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bride.
J.R. Radcliffe is coming back to the show. The timeline of Brett Favre's involvement in a welfare scam in Mississippi.
Brett Favre's camp has denied all wrongdoing. Like, he really feels like he did nothing wrong. So I guess he's a little burned by that.
Celebrating all things Wisconsin. As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bride. Weekdays 11 to 2 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold. 1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003. 125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football. You're about to find out. Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday mornings at 8 on The Shaw and on the Civic Media app.
Telling my girls about my Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard.
But Mom's early detection gave us time to make a plan.
Talk to your family about seeing a doctor. Go to alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
This is Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm Awake.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for the future generations. Ow!
Okay, that's usually the last segment, but you got me surprised there. And we're here with Joe Vitale and Rachel Thunder. And what I want to do, Rachel, is talk about tomorrow, yesterday morning, the American Indian Movement, people from all over the community came to this area and had put up a teepee. Let's start from the morning and end up where the police came.
Right. So yesterday at sunrise, members of the American Indian Movement, Little Earth Protectors, Indigenous community members, and allies entered the gates outside of the Sears warehouse at East 27th and Longfellow Avenue at the Roof Depot, beginning a ceremonial occupation of the Roof Depot site. We lit a spirit fire, held a sunrise ceremony that was run by Fred DeCharlet, filled our pipes. We put up a teepee and began setting up camp, in a prayerful and a ceremonial way. And I also wanted to thank everyone who supported and helped. The outpouring of support from the community and allies was beautiful, uplifting, and unifying of the South Minneapolis community. And during the entire occupation, there was never any drugs, alcohol, weapons, violence. None of that was present at Camp Ninicasi. And the prayer and ceremony held at this site was led by Indigenous community members for the betterment, protection, and health of all of South Minneapolis community, the land, and future generations to stop demolition that's set for the 27th of February.
Right. So the day went on. I saw there was food. I saw there was, coffee. I saw there was people sharing and talking to each other in a good way. Mm-hmm. And then later on when you were on our show, basically all hell broke loose.
Yes. So the entire Minneapolis Police Department encircled the neighborhood at 6:15 p.m. And we were actually getting calls from some of our relatives that live close to Hiawatha saying there's hundreds of police officers coming your way. There were so many that they took up in the entirety of Hiawatha and were blocking intersections and holding up traffic. They shut down all of Hiawatha, 26th Street, 27th, 28th, and even the footbridge that crosses Hiawatha. The Minneapolis Police Department surrounded Camp Ninicasi and ordered us to disperse within 10 minutes. The police department used a saw to cut through the chain link fence on the south side of camp, and police began detaining our women, aunties, and women around 7:15 p.m., including myself, along with about seven other Indigenous relatives that were in prayer and ceremony at that time.
So, Rachel, one of the things that the police do now, I heard, and maybe, Joe, you can jump in too, is they will not arrest people. They put them in the car and drive them a long ways away, and then there's no arrest report. But yet they've broke up this, in our case, a peaceful, prayerful occupation, and dropped you off in the middle of nowhere to come fend for yourself and get back to your car and get people to pick you up. Is that what happened last night?
Yeah. So when we were arrested, I was told that I was going to be taken downtown and that they were going to make sure that I stayed down there as long as possible, that they would draw the process out as long as possible. And then a call came in from higher up and said that it would be bad for optics if they brought me downtown. So they kept transferring me between different cruisers. At one point, my leg was injured when one of the officers was trying to shove my right leg into the vehicle because I couldn't get my leg in there. I actually had to go to the doctor today to get that looked at. And they said that they were charging me with a misdemeanor for trespassing, but they never read me my rights. They never gave me any paperwork. They ended up then putting me in a van and then into another cruiser. and said that they were just going to take me somewhere and drop me off. And I asked them to take me to Little Earth, and they said no, that they wouldn't do that, that it was too close, and that I would just come back. We drove around for a little bit, and then they ended up finally dropping us off in the street in front of Homeward Bound shelter, the AICDC shelter. They didn't want to go into the parking lot, so they dropped us off in the street there.
Wow. Joe, to your knowledge, is that what's happening now? Is that what the Minneapolis police are about? So there's no record in their actions because they're not arresting people now?
Yeah, that's correct. It's something we've seen ever since the uprising after the murder of George Floyd by the Minneapolis Police Department back in 2020, where we had the peaceful protests disrupted by police going up 35. And those folks, you know, hundreds of folks were picked up and dropped off across the Twin Cities with, like you said, no ride, having to fend for themselves. At the time, the reasoning was because the jail cells were full and COVID was an issue. But nowadays it is to intimidate and discourage activists from participating in future actions. However, it's not going to work in this instance. We see through the lies, and, you know, we don't see yesterday as a loss, as Rachel mentioned. So many of our relatives came together because what we know is righteous, and we will be back. Maybe not in that site, but as we'll discuss in a little bit, we will be back in different forms.
Yeah, that's where I kind of want to go next, Rachel, without giving away your plan. This is not going to end, right? And even though we're going to have 20 inches of snow here, is the February 27th date still a go?
So as far as we understand, yes, demolition is still set for February the 27th. We drove by the site today, and they're reinforcing it with like a second layer of fence, kind of similar to how they barricade with fences after the riots with the concrete barriers at the bottom. But no, you're absolutely right, Robert. This fight isn't over. This prayer isn't over. And, you know, a point that I wanted to make too is that the Minneapolis Police Department, you know, states that they are not going to be responding to nonviolent crimes. So why did they respond in such a force to this? It was crazy, the amount of police officers that were there. Like, I never see one police officer show up for any, you know, anything here in our communities, not for drug dealers, for, you know, our women being trafficked, for John's, you know, patrolling our neighborhoods, for our missing murdered Indigenous women. But the entire Minneapolis Police Department can show up because Mayor Fry ordered it, you know, for a peaceful, prayerful, sober, no drugs, no alcohol, no weapons, no violence, you know, none of those things present in our camp, you know, grounded in prayer and ceremony. It doesn't surprise me.
Well, Joe, you know, what do we say to these politicians? And I know a Fry, for instance, came to the community for the vote, promised things. What do we say? And what do we say to these politicians that really, I don't know, basically lied to us just to get our vote, to simply put it?
Yeah, I think it's something you've been advocating for our relatives for a long time, Robert, which is remember, account for how our politicians vote. And if they don't vote in favor of our community, we have to vote them out. We have to remember that Fry will be going up for re-election, as well as all city council members. Well, Fry is in 2 years, but other city council members are this year. So this is the way we hold folks accountable, which is knowing when the caucus dates are, and then also, you know, getting involved with all of that and making sure that we get these folks out of there and speaking your truth.
Yeah.
We can't continue to have this type of genocide in our institutions.
What a way to put it. Rachel, what do we got going next here? What is our call to action to people that are listening, people that live in the Twin Cities and all around Turtle Island?
I would say people that live in Minneapolis and in the Twin Cities, call the city council members, you know, even those that are in different wards than just South Minneapolis. We are going to be pushing for a revote. City Council has a meeting tomorrow at 9:30, and we are organizing a caravan from Little Earth to the city council meeting. So we're asking everybody to meet at Little Earth at 8. We're going to be handing out $30 gas cards per vehicle. And it's okay if you don't have a vehicle. There's going to be plenty of space to jump into somebody else's car, and we'll make sure that you get a ride back. We just want to make sure that we have as much representation there at city council at that meeting for our voices to be heard and unified.
Wow, that's perfect. Joe, what's your thoughts? This is what democracy looks like, and we aren't seeing that from the bad guy's side.
No, and we have to look at the bigger picture here, where it's embarrassing where, I mean, granted, we want the Capitol acting in the best interests of folks in the Twin Cities, or in fact, for all of folks of Minneapolis or Minnesota. But it's embarrassing where the city of Minneapolis is doing more harm to its residents than the state. And again, keep an account of how folks vote, you know, vote them out. As Rachel said, the actions are not done. We have tomorrow. Then we have a block party on Sunday at 2 p.m. You know, the movement doesn't stop with yesterday, nor does it stop tomorrow.
Wow, good way to put that. We got less than a minute of this segment, Rachel. I just want to give you kudos for moving back to the Twin Cities here, and the strong Native person that you are. I see you around the neighborhood. I see you at the Capitol. I see you at good places where you speak the truth. And I just want to personally say it's great to have you here back in the Twin Cities and helping our people all over Turtle Island.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Robert. It's good to be here.
Zoe, we got less than a minute left. You got anything to talk to ask our relatives before we let them go?
Oh, thank you guys so much for being here. Oh my gosh. It's really important to hear from you, as you were there and your experiences too, Rachel. Just that is insane and good to know that, you know, MPD's not making arrests anymore. I've been a part of a lot of Line 3 stuff, and even since then things have changed. And it just seems like they are just ramping up their efforts every time. And so it is discouraging, but knowing that you guys are out there doing the good work, you know,
makes absolutely
better.
Show up at the Minneapolis City Council meeting tomorrow at 9:30. Let's do it. Rideshare available at Little Earth starting at 8. Thank you so much, you two, for being on. You are our idols and your boots on the ground. Thank you, Joe. And thank you so much, Rachel. We'll be back after this short break. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
Earl Ingram.
Mandela Barnes.
Yeah, the stories that I talked about, stories that I share, my own personal experience, was not much different from the experience from a lot of other people across the state. People generally want to be able to, you know, exist together in harmony.
Working hard every day to inform, enlighten, and bring our community together. The Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings 8 to 11 on Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Stories come to life at your local parks and forests. They're places of wonder, and they're closer than you think. Make the forest part of your story today at a local park near you, or find one at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Weather on this snowy, snowy day could be brought to us by your business. Can you imagine how many snowblowers, snow shovels, and snowmobiles are being sold as we speak? Weather sponsorships make the phone ring. Call us at 608-819-8255.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lots of sunshine today with daytime highs approaching 34. Southwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Clear skies tonight, lows level off around a 19. Sunny skies tomorrow, highs around 40. Mid-40s Monday, with a chance for scattered showers. Low 40s, partly cloudy, Tuesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 21 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Butler to Windlake. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
Bijou, I am Oshawashko Gijig. I'm from Red Lake Nation, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Native American Community Clinic located on Franklin Ave in Minneapolis.
Hey, we prematurely said hi, Juoni, to Rachel Thunder. I know she's got a couple more things to speak upon, which I appreciate you staying on. That if you didn't stay on, Rachel, that means Zoe and I would have to make up some stuff the last 10 minutes of the show. So I'm glad you're still on, and let's speak your truth. Ho-wa.
Thank you, Robert. You know, at the end of the day, it's important to remember that this land that we're here on in South Minneapolis and the Minneapolis community, falls under treaties that were signed with the Dakota people with Fort Snelling here in the early 1800s. And all of those treaties were broken and not honored by the United States government. There were certain payments and resources that were to be made to the Dakota people, and they were never received. So, you know, when we're peacefully there and when we're prayerfully there and we're arrested and charged with trespassing by the city of Minneapolis, how is that possible? Because all of this is stolen land. How can we as indigenous people be trespassing on stolen land? And the militarization of the Minneapolis Police Department is just another moment in this ongoing saga and war that the United States people has against our First Nations people as the original people of Turtle Island. So I just wanted to share that, Robert, that, you know, yes, this is about the Roof Depot. Yes, this is about keeping pollution and toxins out of our communities. Yes, this is about having clean air and clean water for our people. But this is also about treaty rights. And, you know, that us as the original landlords of this land, so to say, that we have every right to pray, have ceremony, and anywhere that we want on this land, that because it's all sovereign indigenous land.
That's a great point. And I think that's a thing that we like to talk about, but we don't talk about enough. We talk about it probably once a week, maybe on Tuesdays, when we talk about treaties. But treaties do matter. And, you know, there's been many treaties here in Minnesota, and the only treaty that this country seems to have agreed upon is none. And that paints a pale picture for our people out there. And and Rachel and Zoe, it's great that we're talking about this, only because we have so many people out there. We have so many white people that want to help and want to learn, and we are all treaty people. As we talk about, the treaties work both ways. They're to protect not only us, but the other treaty signers, and we always have to bring that up again, Rachel.
No, you're absolutely right, Robert. Treaties are sovereign nation to sovereign nation agreements. And so there's terms for each of those sovereign nations. So in the terms of these treaties that we're talking about specifically here, that would be sovereign nation as the Dakota people and the sovereign nation of the United States negotiating and agreeing on terms. And the terms by the Dakota people were upheld, but the terms by the United States government were not upheld.
And what do we say all the time? I see T-shirts, I see memes or whatever they're called about, you know, we're in the Constitution, that treaties are what? The supreme law of the land. And, you know, we get people talking about things like the Second Amendment and amendments that are very, how do you say, convenient for the quota, but not convenient for what's reality in these treaties and their constitution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And there's a lot of issues that we face here as the indigenous community of South Minneapolis that is seems to be shared across Indian country. You know, and many of those things are not being addressed by the city of Minneapolis. You know, one being the evictions of our unhoused relatives here on the streets of Minneapolis and the limited resources that is put towards them and the injustices that they face. And I mean, that is evident in this raid that came on our camp that was peaceful and prayerful and sober, you know, all of those things. And the entire Minneapolis Police Department showed up. And so I personally feel and believe that these camp evictions should be illegal, especially during the winter months. It's a death note.
Yeah. Hey, you know, we only got a couple minutes left, but Rachel, I'm going to ask you to do something for us. When you were at the Capitol, you spoke and you quoted John Trudell. Do you remember what you said?
Yes, I do. I said that the system of oppression, these colonial governments like the United States, the only thing that they care about is power. And power to them is money, and money is an illusion of power. And the only true power comes from the earth. And as indigenous people, that's where we draw our power. And that scares the government and these city governments as well.
Exactly. And that's big reason why we couldn't, do our own religion until 1978 when, Rachel, I know I look young, but I was a junior in high school when that law changed. And it's the irony of there's only certain rights for certain people. And we fell way behind on that as the people of this land, First Nations, as the Canadian brothers and sisters talk about. But this is our land. And, you know, we are talking about land back. We're talking about things that that are happening and they're going to happen. You know, I always told my students when I was in high school is that this thing called democracy is not going to last. They're trying to do this, and we need to be ready to take our land back because this is going to fail one day. And I always kidded with my kids and said, "You're not ready. Learn your language. Learn to make food, and you know those things." But there's things happening with somebody like you, with Zoe being young and Rachel, you're young, and it makes older people like myself really, really thankful and grateful of the future of our indigenous leaders like you two.
I also wanted to just ask before you go, Rachel. Is there a website, an Instagram where people can donate or just, you know, stay updated with what's happening as this develops? I know that the Defend the Depot Instagram is what I've been following. Is that what you'd recommend? Or
yeah, so there's the Defend the Depot on Instagram and I believe on Facebook as well. And then I would follow EPNI, EP, the East Phillips Neighborhood Institute. That's EPNI. Follow them on Facebook as well.
Well, again, you know, I'm really sitting here as a proud uncle, Rachel and Zoe and Ogama and all the young people that contribute to this show, but also contribute to our community. And, you know, to get our white allies out there listening and supporting us, which they want to do so dearly. And so it's good to have these good words out there. It's also good, you know, I'm getting texts right now from people that we all know and listening to the show and supporting the American Indian Movement with Rachel and, you know, Joe. And I'm just really, really happy and so grateful that you were on. Thank you, Zoe, for the news. Hey, you've been listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. We're still here. We are the seventh generation Free Leonard Peltier now.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Monday morning at 8. Don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday morning at 8 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
That dog does not want to be petted.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to...